You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in another edition of On the Tee with Anita Marks, John Mascari, and Christina Thompson here on 98.7 ESPN. This is our podcast. Sorry we missed you last week. I'm not sure. What happened, guys? Why didn't we do a podcast last week? I totally forgot what happened.
I think you overslept, Anita.
Oh, whatever. I think we had like a major baseball like outbreak MLB just threw everyone's life into turmoil.
That's right. The Marlins, the entire Marlins roster came down with COVID-19 and
Florida.
I was filling in on 98.7 ESPN and yeah, that's what happened. But we're back and better than ever, especially as we're heading into our first major tournament of the season, guys. Woohoo!
It's so weird. This just, I don't know if everybody out there agrees, but this is just so weird. I feel like the season just started and boom, major time. So it's just weird.
Really? Because I don't feel that way. I feel like, oh my gosh. This is the first major. I feel like, I don't know, from like the season starting and then, as you know, I call it the pandemic pause and then the season starting again. And then like, I feel like, I don't know about you, John, but I feel like, oh, we're finally here. Thank God. A major.
Yeah, this is a biggie. It's good to be on the West Coast with the PGA Championship. As a PGA member, this is our championship and we're proud to be the first ones to host a major this year. Which usually isn't the case.
But, yeah.
Look at you pounding your chest. Look at you pounding your chest.
Hey, I'm one of 22,000 proud PGA members.
You're cute.
We're honored.
Hey guys, before we look forward to the major, let's look back to last week. As I said, unfortunately, we did not have a podcast. The WGC FedEx Invitational took place, and Justin Thomas, boy. Back at number one, I feel like, you know, him and Rahm, I have like my gut's telling me that him and Rahm are going to be going back and forth this season in regard to being ranked number one in the world. But he holds off Brooks Koepka, who Brooks bogeyed hole 16, a par five. But Justin Thomas, before we as horrible as it sounds, like I think Brooks Koepka is the story here, even though Justin Thomas won. You know, first and foremost, let's talk about JT's game right now. I sat here, I spent like 3 hours today prepping and for, you know, because I'm a degenerate gambler, prepping for all my, who all my money's going to go on this coming week. Starting Thursday, of course. And just the metrics, John, the metrics are dumb. Like, you know, strokes gained tee to green, strokes gained on approach, strokes gained here, strokes gained there. Like, Justin Thomas is at the top of the rankings in, like, literally at least 50% of the stats, hands down, the ones that really matter each and every week when you need to win a championship. What kind of share with us, like, What has happened? Like, what are you seeing in his game that I feel like he's – and not to say – I mean, listen, JT's always been good, right? But, like, he's finally arrived.
Yeah, I think he's shown exceptional confidence at this point. He trusts his swing. You know, it's kind of funny you mentioned it before about how he's just playing so well. And you got to remember, he's 27 years old and he's got 13 tour wins.
That's crazy.
Two players in the last 60 years he's the third youngest to reach 13 wins. Tiger and Jack are the other two. So wrap your head around that. As you like to say, you need to marinate on that for a little bit.
Yep.
Unbelievable statistic. Shakes 65 in the final round to seal the win. You know, Brendan Todd had a 3-stroke lead coming into the tournament. Didn't phase JT. Oh, by the way, who had bones on the bag.
Right? That was a win.
So Bones putting the microphone away and then getting back on the bag and cashing a nice paycheck this weekend. And he'll be out there in San Francisco as well with JT. So it's pretty interesting to see. Well, I feel like JT, Rahm, Rory, like all these great young players. It's going to be like a little shell game of who's number one every week, kind of moving it all around and this and that, which is great for golf. You know,
yeah, well,
having that Tiger career where he was the number one for so long, we might not ever see that again, but it's really good to see so many players of varying abilities and great abilities to shuffle around that one and two position. So
let me ask you guys this, because I kind of like, and I'll use the analogy, like, you know, when LeBron James creates these super teams, right? And then it's like, it's everybody against LeBron James. And I feel that that feeds to watching the NBA and getting into the NBA. Do you feel that the PGA Tour would be more successful with a player that was as dominant as Tiger Woods was, where it was like Tiger against the field? Or do you feel that the PGA Tour, let's say the next 3 to 5 years, is going to be more successful with this type of parity?
So go ahead, Christine. You could jump in.
I'm just real quick. You know, it's so hard to compare those two because basketball, the NBA, and golf are so different. Like, golf is such an individual sport, and I do love a little bit of like the good cup, bad cup. I love like the Bryson DeChambeau Kepka like tension a little bit. I like when there's like the Tiger Phil matchups, and I enjoy those kind of things. But you know, like I think the PGA Tour does really well when you have a diverse field with incredible talent out there. So there's someone for everyone to root for, not just like this one dominant. Listen, there's never going to be another Tiger. I mean, maybe there will be, but I don't think we're going to see something like that. So I love seeing the deep depth of talent on the PGA Tour and being able to every week have somebody else to root for, depending on the course location, the setup, the tournament, the Masters, whatever. So that's my thought.
So I'll preface this comment by saying I think it's good and bad. And here's what I mean. For the golf industry and the golf world as a whole, having multiple players jockeying for number one is very good. So there's always someone different who's going to be racing for the top. The parity of the tour is fantastic. We've seen guys that have won multiple times in their careers. We've seen guys that have won for the first time. And so that's really exciting. I think for golf as a sport in the sporting world, having a dominant player like Tiger Woods that crosses over into other sports that people know, you could show Tiger Woods' picture all around the world and people would know who he is. So it's not very often you have that generational player. So I think for golf in our world, in our bubble of golf, it's good to have parity. But I think in the sporting world, having a dominant player like that brings more notoriety to the game.
Yeah, I find it really interesting. Like I said, you know, with all due respect to Justin Thomas and how great he played and him winning, which put a lot of money in my pocket because that's, if you guys recall, that's who I predicted to win last week. Yes, woo-hoo, I'm tooting my own horn.
Woo-hoo.
But
toot away.
But
you never toot your own horn. That's like so odd.
Whatever. But for Brooks Koepka to come out and have the week that he had, listen, if you go back and again, if you dive into the stats, strokes gained tee to green, strokes gained approach, strokes gained, you know, par four scoring, you know, Brooks is not going to be at the top of leaderboard. But if you look at those stats for last week's tournament alone, where you've got to feel, believe, based on past history, was his tune-up for this week. He's at the top five for a lot of them. I mean, even though he didn't win it last week, statistics-wise, he crushed it. And again, I was home today. I was working. I was prepping from home, and I had the Golf Channel on, and I saw the Brooks Koepka interview that took place today. A few things he said. He's such an arrogant SOB. I swear, I love and I love every minute of it. You know, so they were asking him what makes you feel that you could win, he said, well, first, he said, first things first. He said, this is a big boy track. This is a big boy tournament. He said,
oh, so, boy.
Yeah. So he said, maybe there'll be 10 golfers that the, he goes, maybe there'll be 10 golfers that could win it here. The course alone is going to take the rest of everybody out of it. He said, and then he said, I know my game matches up with the best of them. And then he started talking about his mental. And he said, I was watching this. I was just, I said, I need to record this and listen to this every time I get it. Yep. He said, people make golf difficult. Golf's not difficult. People make golf difficult. He said, you know, okay. I think the thing with me is, you know, I find this game very, very simple. People make it difficult. Mentally, I'm stronger, better than most people. I mean, like the arrogance. And then, and what was also funny is like, you know, these like really, and with all due respect to the media that was, there were media that were on Zoom that were being piped in, asking him questions. You could just tell he was just like, are you seriously asking me that? Like, he just seemed so annoyed by the whole process of it all. But I guess where I'm going with this is the arrogance in regard to his playing ability and his arrogance in regard to his mental makeup and what it takes to win a major was oozing.
Oozing.
As it should be, though. As it should be.
Like through the television. Through the television.
So you think he's going to make the three-peat of PGA Championships?
I'm picking Brooks Koepka to win this bad boy this week. That's okay. Who I'm
going to. You're going for the three-peat. All right.
Here's why. His game was so on point last week. So on point. And just watching that interview today, you know, and he did the interview after, I guess he, you know, his practice round, I want to say he's played all 18 and then he played like 9 as well. And he said like, you know, his game is where it needs to be. He didn't complain about his knee. My money's on Brooks Koepka. I got Brooks Koepka winning this week. Who do you guys have?
Okay. Let's go back and talk about the arrogance of Brooks Koepka. Okay.
Please, let's do. Okay. Oh, please, let's go. Let's dive in.
This is why I think it's important. So, Anita, you've played sports professionally. I've played in college. I want the arrogant guy. The arrogant guys are the best guys. Now, think about all the people that you've interviewed or you've been on the sidelines with, Anita. Are they going to tell you that, yeah, we might win the game? Or, you know what, yeah, I'm actually doing okay. No, they are going to be confident because that's who they are as athletes. He has the skills to pay the bills, for lack of a better term, okay? So coming into this tournament, coming off his best start of the year, he's the 2-time defending champion. He's oozing with confidence, as he should be. All of us would be in the same boat. You don't want to self-doubt yourself. He's his number one fan. He knows he can play well. He knows he's winning. He's walking away with his trophy, and that's how you should be coming into a tournament of this magnitude. Is I'm at the utmost confidence. I'm going to tear this place apart. I'm hitting it better than 3/4 of the field. The golf course is long, which sinks right into his advantage. Why not be confident? Why not? And he's the co-favorite going in.
So, John.
Stop yelling. I'm sorry.
So, John, who do you have winning? Do you have Brooks winning as well?
I have John Rahm winning.
You have Rahm? Really? What?
You have Rahm winning?
I do. Yep.
Christina, who do you have winning this week?
Wow. I mean, after that whole tirade that John just went on, I mean, I feel like I should have Koepka as winning the tournament. And, you know, I want to pick Koepka to do the three-peat. I want to. But I think it'd be fun to see someone like, you know, a Gary Woodland or Rory, you know, up there. I don't know. I'd like to see someone, you know, maybe a former champion win. I think a former champion's going to win. I don't think it's going to be a new winner. That's where I'm going with that.
How difficult is it for Justin Thomas to win 2 weeks in a row, especially, you know, the second week being a major? Again, I worked from home today. I was watching the interviews, and he talked about like how, you know, mentally tiring it is. after winning a tournament. So, you know, we know.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that comment, that, you know, the tarring. I would think that he would be energized by the way he played last week.
Right.
When I saw that, I was like, wow, I would think that he would be kind of ready to tee it up right now if he wanted to. Let's start the tournament today. I mean, if it was a regular PGA Tour week, I think it'd be a little less stressful, but this is a major and the first major, and everyone is going to be jacked up. People are waiting for this. The field is super strong. Not that it hasn't been in other tournaments, but.
Yeah. But you know what? Let me ask you something. This is like, we have the first major of this weird year that we're having. And it's the first major without fans either. And it's kind of like, it's going to be a little creepy out there to be, you know, these are the events that have so much more energy than a regular PGA Tour stop. So, you know, any word, and have you heard about what the players are saying about just the quietness that they're going to, you know, the quiet in the field that they're going to have? I mean, yes, I know it's been the first time they've been playing PGA Tour events, you know, the last couple of months, but this is the first major, and the energy, and you guys know, you've been to major events, the energy is just electric out there. And do you think that's going to be a plus, or do you think that's going to affect these guys, or do you think they just don't care? They're just out there in the zone, and
they talked about it today. You know, Tiger was asked about it today, and he said, you know, we don't know. This is our first major, so yeah, you know, it's.
I could think of 2.7 million reasons to be okay with it.
Yeah, you know, but their response today when they were asked about it was, you know, yeah, you know, we've been playing without fans for a few weeks. Keep in mind, Tiger only played in one tournament so far since the tour resumed. A lot of other guys are more familiar, more comfortable with what's transpiring right now. But I'm sure it's going to be a different feel because it is a major. And listen, they're playing out in San Francisco, TPC Harding. And you know, this is San Francisco, the West Coast, they love golf. I mean, this would have been a huge, beyond the fact of being a major, you know, this would have been a huge draw. So I'm sure it's going to be very, very different. And with that, guys, let's talk about Tiger Woods. Did you notice today, John, I'm assuming you were watching the Golf Channel as well, right? So did you see Tiger was coughing a lot during the press conference, and did you see him? You're laughing because you're with me, right? And did you see him?
Yeah, I kind of. But then, I was thinking, like, he kind of is. What's up with that?
And then, and not that it's COVID. We're not trying to assume anything here, but I know for me, if I cough or I sneeze, I immediately say I don't have COVID. Like, I make a public announcement about it. But I feel like
he's a Florida guy and he's in Northern California. Altitude.
I feel that it's my duty. But then did you see him practicing putting, John? He was coughing while he was practicing putting. Did you watch him with his little?
I didn't see his putting thing. But I mean, I think we're really looking into it pretty deep if we're watching Tiger cough.
Hey, I'm going to spend a lot of money. I spend a lot of money each week trying to win money. Yeah, I'm paying attention to every little thing. Does he have Does he have a runny nose? Yeah, is he?
You know, let me say something. Since we've been doing these podcasts and we've been all friends, and let me tell you, I didn't realize there was so much detail on going to really pick winners.
You guys, Tiger had a second cup of coffee at breakfast today. He never has a second cup of coffee.
This is like deep stuff right here. I hope everyone understands. This is like a science. I didn't realize
on
that.
I'm being
schooled right now.
on top of Tiger's cough, it is going to be 50 to 60 degrees. Weather conditions.
Bingo.
weather conditions are not going to be in his favor. So I'm not saying that Tiger's not going to make the cut, even though maybe I put a little money down that he wouldn't make the cut. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I did. But I don't know about you guys. I am not anticipating much for Tiger this week. What about you guys?
No. I you know, listen, Tiger loves these major events, and what is he going for, 16 majors? I lost track of his majors, but I think he's going to play well, but maybe the weather has something to do with it. I think he's gonna make the cut. I thought he was gonna make the cut at Memorial, which he did, and I think he's gonna play. I think he's gonna play well. I'm sure he's gonna have something to complain about after his round during his interview, like he always does. But I'm sure he will. He'll give us a good show. It's a major event, you know.
Yeah, listen, he's got very good success at Harding Park.
Yeah,
2005, he won the American Express. They played the President's Cup there. He went 5-0. Now, granted, this is a different Tiger than maybe in 2005, as we can all agree. But don't be surprised if Mr. Woods' name is on that TV screen.
Yeah, Saturday. I agree.
And it's prime time, baby. So let's go. Everybody loves Tiger in prime time.
Interesting. Definitely. Okay. All right. You guys want to make a little wager that he doesn't finish in the top 10?
Whoa, top 10? Top 10.
You went from making the cut to top 10? I mean, like...
You guys are pretty confident that his name's going to be up there on Sunday. I'm saying, do you guys want to make...
Top 25.
I would say top 25, ditto.
Top 25.
No, I'll do top 20.
Top 20. You're
on. Top 15.
I'm taking 20. I'm in with 20.
All right, I'm in with 20. I say he does not make it in the top 20. Hey, listen, guys, there are some other players that are struggling. DJ's struggling. Rahm's been struggling. Rory. DeChambeau. God, his approach shots were horrendous this past week. there was some caddy drama going on. So Webb Simpson, his caddy is dealing with a disc issue, and so he's not going to be there. Finau, he fired his caddy last week. Now his golf coach is his caddy. There's some caddy drama going on. I'm staying away from Webb Simpson.
Why? What's scaring you about Webb?
Well, I mean, you lose your Help? Caddy. You lose your caddy. And also, let's be honest, Webb Simpson doesn't have the distance here. As Brooks Koepka said, this is a big boys course. You gotta put on your big boy pants. You gotta drive the ball. You gotta drive the ball like John Mascari.
Like a DeChambeau.
I wouldn't be able to reach any of these greens in two on the par fours.
John is at a loss for words.
I am. I can't believe that you really now listen, there's probably caddies all over our listening area that are going to write me nasty letters and shoot me tweets on Twitter. I don't really put that much stock into who's carrying the bag for these guys.
I do.
I'm sorry.
I do.
There's guys that went on tour that had their girlfriend caddying for him.
Wait.
I went on the European tour who carried his own bag. Bones just got on the bag last week and whoop-de-doo.
Right, but you don't think Bones being on his bag had anything to do with it?
I'm sure.
Just like eye candy. Exactly.
I don't think it wins or loses.
You think? Let's put it this way, John. You think if JT would have picked up a caddy from what course in Memphis? What TPC? Would they play? If he would have just picked up a caddy from that course, you think he would have won?
Why not? Matt Kuchar did it. I rest my case.
I don't know.
No further questions, Lauren.
Look, I love caddies. Some of my best rounds I've ever played have been with caddies who read greens.
But John, you're not a professional golfer.
But wait, John, let me ask you this question, though. I mean, other than reading greens and testing the wind, these caddies during these tournaments also help keep the players grounded and keeps their pace and their tempo kind of at, you know, balance it out. You know that the heart races and everything, you know.
I understand that, but there's also some of them that don't say a word. And the pro tells them, just keep up and shut up. I mean, that's it. Some of the guys, they don't want to hear, just carry the bag. And I guess
just clean my putter.
That need that reassurance, but a lot of times, hey, the player knows that this putt is a cup outside the left. He'll just ask the caddy just for reaffirmation. Hey, what do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a cup outside. Good, because I thought that too.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of these guys have good relationships. I mean, you look at Spieth and his buddy out there, they have like a good rapport. I mean, these guys all have, you know, longtime friends on their bags that, you know,
I don't think that a caddy is not an important member of the team. I just don't put a lot of stock into a change of caddies here.
We agree to disagree. Some other storylines out there is Christina just mentioned Jordan Spieth. Each and every year we'll talk about the Spieth Slam when the PGA Championship comes around, looking to be the sixth PGA Tour player to be able to do it. But again, you know, this is a guy that's been struggling. I am not anticipating Spieth to win this. Also, there's some youngsters that are playing in their first major, Morikawa, Hovland. Also, a number of guys who've been on the tour for quite a while who are still looking to win their first major. And that's Rahm, DeChambeau, Cantlay, Fowler, X-Man, Kuchar, Fleetwood. Any of these, the young guys, the guys that have been on tour for a while that still haven't won that first major, anybody that you feel that you actually give them a chance this week?
Go ahead, Christina.
No, I was just going to say, I said it last year. I think we had this conversation around the same time. And I had said, I think Rahm is due a major. I mean, this guy was world number one without winning a major. So I do believe that he's due. And if someone who hasn't won is going to win, I would put Doc in Rahm for sure.
I thought you brought up a great player who I love this week, and that's Xander Schauffele. He's been very consistent this year, and he's really under the radar, if you can believe that. He can play at the high level. He does really well at tough golf courses, and he's got a lot of West Coast experience. So I think it's a good I'm going to throw a few shekels, which I certainly will. I think he can break into the major winners category this week as well, Schauffele.
What do you guys think of DeChambeau this week? What are your thoughts on him hitting out, you know, where his chances are out there? He wants to hit it. He will hit it long. You're smirking. You're not.
I don't know.
Off the DeChambeau train right now.
His approach shots were horrible last week. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
So I'm not investing any of my hard-earned money in DeChambeau. By the way, if you want to tune into this, just to kind of give you the broadcast schedule, starting Thursday, 10 a.m. ESPN Plus. So make sure you subscribe to that. And then at 4 o'clock, you'll be able to watch it on the tube on ESPN. And that's Thursday and Friday. So coverage starts at 10 a.m. on ESPN Plus and then moves to television at 4 p.m. on Thursday and Friday. Saturday, from 1 to 4, you can watch it on ESPN. And then from 4 to 10, it switches to CBS, which is kind of weird, right, guys? And then on Sunday.
That's my bedtime.
Whatever. And then on Sunday, from noon to 3, it will be on ESPN. And then from 3 to 9 p.m., it will be on CBS. And, guys, let's be honest. This is one of the great things about a tournament being out on the left coast, and that is, you know, it becomes prime time, and it's really, really fun to watch golf at night.
Yeah, I love this. I do like the PGA Championship. There's something special about this tournament that I think always gets people excited about it. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope everybody out there tunes in all week to watch.
There hasn't been a PGA Championship on the West Coast since 98, so we're getting a real treat here. Guys are teeing off at 5 o'clock on our time, so we can come home, sit down, get a nice big bowl of popcorn, maybe make a little sandwich, dig in, beat up, watch some golf all night long.
Popcorn and a sandwich? Is that how you roll, Mascari? Popcorn and a sandwich.
I'm a big popcorn fan.
I'm going
connoisseur of popcorn.
I'm going champagne and caviar.
Wow. Listen, we all don't make as much money in the betting world as you do, Anita.
She hit it hard with
I think last weekend. Yeah, so. Justin Thomas won it for me last week. All right. I'm gonna give you some of my plays, and you guys let me know what you think. Again, I'm putting money down for Brooks Koepka to win. I'm also going to throw some money on Justin Thomas just in case, because his game is just so on point. So let me rewind just to kind of give you an idea of the metrics that are important heading into this tournament this week in San Francisco. Number one, this is pretty interesting. 16 of the last 20 winners had won earlier in the season on tour. So that's granted, that's a trend. I find it interesting. The rough, especially if you listen to the golfers, they were on the Golf Channel earlier today. They're talking about just how horrible, how thick and how difficult the rough's going to be. Not only driving distance, but driving accuracy. So the combination of both is going to be so crucial. Strokes gained tee to green is probably your most important metric. And JT is obviously, he's up there. Schauffele is up there. Par four scoring, birdie or better, is important. You've got seven par fours of 460 yards, if not more, in this tournament. You need to be an excellent ball striker because the temperatures, it's going to be cold, it's going to be windy, conditions aren't going to be the best. So, and also the greens are bent grass. So, you know, there's some players who don't like, for example, Daniel Berger, love Daniel Berger, right? Like, I don't think people really realize what an amazing season he's having, but he's not great on bent grass. He's not great putting on bent. So I'll put money down that Daniel Berger finishes in the top 20, but I'm not putting money down that Daniel Berger wins.
Okay.
So anyway, just to kind of give you an idea. So here's how I'm playing this tournament. Brooks Koepka and JT to win it. Schauffele, Morikawa, and Deki to finish in the top five. Cantlay to finish in the top 10. I got Hovland, Hatton, English, Chez, Palmer to finish in the top 20. And I got Anser to finish in the top 30. You know who else I like?
Wow.
I'm curious, John, are you familiar with Tom Lewis?
Not really.
You're not?
No.
He finished tied for second last week. Look, this is my deep, 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 darkest, deepest sleeper. to finish in the top five, 33 to one, to finish in the top 10, 12 to one, to finish in the top 20, he's plus 550. Again, broad pitcher, has played well this season, coming off of the tournament last week at the top of a lot of stats that are important heading into this tournament this week. So he's my deep sleeper, and I have some fun things that I'm going to do as well. I'm fading, as I said, I'm fading DeChambeau, I'm fading Webb Simpson, I'm fading Tiger Woods. I'm putting a little money that all three of them don't make the cut. We never know. I love Schauffele beating DeChambeau in the tournament. You could get that matchup at plus 100. I like Berger. Wow. I like Berger beating Webb Simpson in the tournament at plus 100 as well. I love both those matchups. And here's another thing for you, and I'm really curious. I want to get your thoughts on this. We've all been out to California. You know how foggy it is in the morning. So you've got a lot of guys that are going to be teeing off in the morning, and obviously you've got a lot of guys that are going to be teeing off in the afternoon. Based on the metrics and the research I've done, one guy that screams to me that very well could be at the top of the leaderboard after round three is Deki. He tees off at 1:36 p.m. Eastern time, which is, Pacific time, which is 4:36 our time. So I'm banking that Deki is at the top of the leaderboard at the end of round one, not only just because of the metrics, but also because he's going to be teeing off after the fog has subsided. What are your thoughts, John?
Are you related to him in any way?
No.
You're taking him it seems like you're on him every week.
No, I'm not.
Strokes gained in the fog. Come on. I said I love John Rahm to win. I love that you took Xander Schauffele. Top five, I like Koepka and DJ. Top 20 for me, it's going to be Hatton, Tony Finau. Let's see if Tony could work his way back up the leaderboard. How about Jason Day? I think he's playing fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for saying Jason Day. Thank
you're
you.
You're very welcome, Christina.
Thank you. He was like my, you know, this guy has had like, what, three consecutive top tens. And, yep. You know, if his back could hold up, man, I want to see Jason win. I mean, he hits that ball so consistently. He's better than he's been playing in a long time. So if his back can hold up, I'm seeing good things.
He's kind of in that like that fringe long shot 40-45
right.
to 1.
Yeah. So
I think it's certainly worth a few shekels to him. My kind of super duper sleeper is Emiliano Grillo.
Ooh.
All right.
He's a great ball striker. I like that.
Great ball striker. So he's kind of under the radar. But yeah, Decky, I don't know. But
what are your thoughts on Hovland right now? Because I mean, I'll tell you, that guy's been playing some crazy good golf.
I like Hovland. I just said I have money on him to finish in the top 20.
Top 20. Okay.
Here's another one for you. And I'm sorry, John, have you played this course before?
I have not. I've played a few clubs around Harding Park, like Olympic and San Francisco Golf Club, but I have not played Harding Park. It's a municipal golf course. Like, we can go and just go play.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So here's a fun one for you. Hole number 72, which obviously would be hole 18 on the final round, right? Okay. You can bet that the winner is going to par, birdie, bogey, or eagle that hole. Now, it's a 468 par 4, dogleg left, over a lake. So if you want to try to birdie it, you have to go over the lake, and you've got a ton of bunkers around the green, and it's a multi-tier green. So you're going to need somebody with a chutzpah of a Brooks Koepka.
How do you spell that?
Wait, which hole is this? Which hole are we talking about?
18.
It'll be the final hole.
Yeah, okay.
It goes around the lake, kind of lake right. Merced. Just kind of bends around.
Okay. So you can wager that the winner is going to birdie that hole. And how I envision this playing out is, you know, I envision. You know, whoever that winner is going to be, they're going to go for that green, and then they're going to birdie. Then they're going to sink a birdie putt to win it. And you could get that for plus 500.
Whew.
So
you're taking it?
I did. So I have hole number 72. The winner will birdie that putt for +500.
See, these are the things that I think make it so much fun to watch golf. It's not just watching. If you can have these little other bets on the side, and it just makes it so much more fun. And I love the last 9 holes of any golf tournament. So that should be fun. All right. Good luck. Good luck on that one.
Thanks, Christina.
I hope I'm awake to see it. That's all.
Of course you will be. What are you talking
about? Wah, wah.
He's an old guys, man. Final thoughts before we end the podcast. John?
Yeah, I think what I want to say, last thought, is good luck to the 20 of my fellow PGA members that are playing this weekend at Harding Park. 4 of them from the metropolitan area, Danny Balin, Alex Beach, Jason Caron, and Rob Labritz, all from the metropolitan area. So good luck to you boys. And it's going to be fun to watch real serious golf this weekend.
Oh, my Lord.
Christina?
I just want to do a shout out to the LPGA right now, because they came back last week and Danielle Kang earned a wire to wire victory. So congrats on her win at the LPGA Drive On Championship. And I know we've got the PGA Championship happening this week, but let's not forget the ladies are out there also, and they're out in Sylvania, Ohio for the Highlands Meadow Golf Club for the Marathon LPGA Classic. So be sure to tune in. I don't even know when their schedule is, what their TV schedule is. It's somewhere mixed in there around the PGA Championship. But tune in to watch that tournament too. So, got to give the ladies some props.
Two things. Number one, I want to give a shout out to Woodlock. John went up to Christina's lake house the past 2 days and played Woodlock yesterday. Shot an 89. So
in Ooh, that's a tough course. Nice job. That's the course.
The course was in beautiful shape. It's just, it's an absolute, it's just absolutely gorgeous. It was a great experience. And the folks up there are so nice and so kind, and really, really enjoyed myself. And Christina, thank you so much for opening
up. It's a great resort, by the way. It's fun just to, we've been up there just to stay there. My parents used to go there for all the time. It's a great place.
It's the whole area reminds me of like Dirty Dancing. Like I'm waiting for like Patrick Swayze to like come out and like catch me flying in the air doing some kind of dance move. So Christina, you and Mark, thank you so much for opening your home. I really do appreciate it. And I had a fantastic time the last few days. And also Skyway Golf Course, as I always say, is New Jersey's best kept secret. Has a women's event, a ladies event taking place this week. And they're going to be doing many of them. So it's, you know, if you listen to this podcast, maybe you have a wife, a girlfriend, a mother, a grandmother, an aunt that's looking to try to get into golf, reach out, contact Skyway Golf Course. They have a really fun women's event once or twice a month where women come out and they play with other women that are just getting started, so it's not intimidating. And then they have wine and cheese after, and you're out there, you're playing golf, and you're getting lessons while you're out there, and it's really, really a fun event. And when you call, ask for Steve at Skyway Golf Course in Jersey City. So, hey guys, another great podcast. Really appreciate you both. John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club. Christina Thompson, owner extraordinaire of Golf for Her. Make sure you check out her website, and also she's got a shop in Denville. So if you're in that area, make sure you stop in and check out her cool stuff. And guys, good luck to us in regard to.
Yeah.
So I'm on Brooks. John is on John Rahm, and yep. Christina, are you on Woodland or are you on Day?
I wish either. No, I'm on Brooks.
Whoa!
Talk about putting it on a tee. Oh my goodness!
I'm taking day. I'm taking day. Day. Okay. I gotta take day.
All
after
day.
You're taking day all day. All day Sunday.
Let's just hope your husband Mark doesn't listen to this podcast. All right, guys. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy the tournament. We'll be back next Tuesday here on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.